Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of The X Collective. Did you know that increasing customer retention rates by 5% increases profits by 25 to 95%? Yes, today we're going to talk about customer success and its underutilized key for sustainable growth for early stage growth companies. And it's your pleasure to introduce to you Oksana Afonina. Oksana, welcome. Thank you for coming over and taking time for this podcast. Much appreciated.
Sure. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. Oksana, you are, or you were previously the head of customer success for HubSpot in EMEA and currently head of partner success. Mm-hmm. Maybe before the background and everything I want to know about you, what is the difference between customer success and partner success?
Yeah, good question. I think this is very specific to HubSpot. So customer success, in classic understanding, is working with direct customers. So we have such function at HubSpot as well. Partner success, it kind of like customer success, but for partners. So for companies like yours, like RocketX, companies who work with other customers, who resell HubSpot and help other businesses to grow. Mm-hmm. So partner success is a team that works with partners and resellers of HubSpot.
Perfect. Well, now we got this straight, Oksana. I'm super, super happy to have you here in the building. And we had a really entertaining conversation before we, before we meet today in this super bloody hot room. Tell me a little bit about your background. Obviously, I would like to understand more about your tenure with HubSpot, but also what you've done previously. Tell me a little bit about your background, please.
Yeah, sure. So I'm with HubSpot for 2.5 years, I started as a manager on a partner success team, and then we had a bit of a restructure. I was leading the customer success team and partner success team. So now I'm back to partner success. So kind of back to where I'm started. At the moment, my team manages partners in DACH, Nordics, and Benelux region, so kind of all the Northern Europe. And as I said, we help companies like yourself to grow your businesses, but also to grow businesses of the customers that you resell and you support in this. My previous background, so I'm in tech industry for about 10 years now. My background is mostly in performance marketing. So mm-hmm. I worked at Google, Facebook, and AppLovin on the marketing side of things. So I was working mostly with SaaS advertisers and B2C companies, with gaming developers, helping them to utilize marketing platform, basically. So okay. Performance marketing was in my life for 9 years, and I think
I made a move
to SaaS and to customer success. But I was always in customer facing roles, client facing roles, sales partnerships. I was managing teams that work with customers, so kind of staying in the same area, but changing the lens a little bit.
Cool.
And overall, my background is and always was in marketing and advertising. I worked in B2B events. I worked in outdoor advertising, in publishing house, and all of that. So yeah, for over, I think, 20 years now, it's all been around marketing, advertising, and business.
Cool,
yeah.
Perfect. And what is your, what are your key drivers or your key personal ambition in your professional career?
I think they changed many times. So I personally love being in tech industry because, I mean, what not to love here? It's super dynamic. It has all the coolest people in the industry. Lots of things are changing. And it's also quite broad. So I naturally tend to change things a lot. I love new projects and just having new initiatives around. Mm-hmm. So tech has a lot of this. I think like all the newest and best things happen in the industry. So this is kind of why I'm here and how I see my career developing. And
cool.
Specifically for being on the customer facing side, I just love being on the side of the platform because I think it allows to see you inside so many businesses that you wouldn't necessarily see. And I think you, in your company, RocketX, you know this because you work with lots of companies, so you have insight into how different industries work and how different businesses structured, but different business models. So for me, this part and staying on the customer side is also an exciting part of my career.
I can totally relate to that. It's a very enriching experience, working with so many different companies and understanding what different archetypes of business there are,
exactly.
And what works and what doesn't work.
That
is definitely very enriching. Cool. And obviously, today we're going to talk about the role of customer success, the scope of the role, and how to get started, how to essentially build your operating model. But before we do this, you work at HubSpot.
Yeah.
And HubSpot has developed its own let's say, philosophy to customer engagement in general. Can you elaborate a little bit on this?
Yeah, I think the HubSpot's methodology, concept, philosophy is quite interesting. It's very different to the classical, so to say, how business approach work with customers. So we're all familiar with the idea of funnel, right? So when you have marketing, driving awareness, driving leads, and then you have sales, and then eventually it all filters down to customer success or anybody who handles existing customers. The HubSpot philosophy is called flywheel, and the idea is like it's completely different to funnel, because all teams and all functions and all roles in your company, they touch customers in different ways. So it's not that sales finish their job and then it's only CSM, or marketing finish their job and it's only sales now. It means that all your teams can be feeding into each other and working towards each other in this life cycle journey of a customer within the company. So I think this is the main difference and the main philosophy of HubSpot.
Clear. And would you say this is applicable for companies of all in all, let's say, maturity stages, or is this specific to HubSpot from your perspective?
Oh, I would say it's applicable to everyone. I think the maturity of the business. So I think the audience here is mostly like startups and scaling companies. I think it will be the maturity of your company, maturity of your flywheel, because the larger is the company, the more roles and teams you may have in the company generally. Yeah. So then your flywheel kind of will be bigger and the more teams will be involved. But even if it's a small company and everyone works on the customers, it still means that even within the company, your functions will be kind of circulating around customers. So I think it's the concept itself still applies.
Yeah.
It's just the matter of the scale of the company.
So it's a more, let's say, holistic and integrated approach to customer engagement than the more classical, let's say, sort of linear funnel approach.
Yeah, yeah. So we are looking here at the customer journey, as you say, not linear, but, you know, as a cycle.
Yeah.
You know, it's evolving all the time and every team has, you know, to play.
And can you describe, you know, the different phases or the different stages, if you will, within this flywheel? How does it work exactly?
So the idea would be like... Classically, in the company, you have different organizations and different teams. We also have a marketing team, we have a sales team, we have customer success team, we have support team, and all of this, right? So, but the processes are built in a way that they're all revolving around the customer. So HubSpot has very strong customer first philosophy, and then every team feeds into each other, and they're all interconnected, right? So, as an example, I can give is, for example, customer success team works with the customer or with the partner. And if they have a good success story, they work with marketing to release a case study. And then it feeds into how marketing is doing their marketing campaigns. And then sales team can also be using this. So this is kind of how
understood. And many marketers or let's say people working in revenue departments also use this funnel as a way to structure their metrics and report on how they're contributing to the business. What would you say that this flywheel, what is the impact of the flywheel model on how to work with the right metrics and to see if you're contributing in the right way?
Yeah, that's a good question. So again, like all our teams, they have different metrics. So marketing metrics would not maybe apply to the customer success, but the idea here that because they're interconnected, for example, in customer success, one of the metrics we have is the number and quality of SQLs, the qualified leads that we submit to sales, right?
Yeah.
So it means that, yes, we work with the customers, but we, on the same time, we work with the sales team and help them to surface opportunities. So I would say metrics are still different. Sales is sales and customer success or marketing or support is very different, but metrics would feed into each other as well.
Okay. So within this flywheel, you would still have, let's say, a journey in place, including also from a sales perspective, for example, quite classical sales stages that you then work with.
Sure. So sales would have their pipelines. And even
if
you work with our platform, you know that in the sales hub, you have pipelines and deals are moving. So within each function, you have your own processes and they work. But then even how our platform is structured, like in the heart of it, you have CRM, CRM system, and then all other hubs are structured around it. So the idea is like we all work with the same customer and everybody puts in, even like the way our teams communicate, it's always like on the same kind of page. Everybody knows what happens to customer.
It makes for me, total sense.
Yeah.
You know, this holistic approach, yeah. and this was pioneered by HubSpot, right?
Yeah.
This model.
I wouldn't know the full history, so I wouldn't be like so sure, like to say pioneered, but definitely the flywheel concept was developed by HubSpot, and the methodology is the one that we apply with all the customers and with the partners yourself. If you remember your onboarding back in the days, this was a big key element around like how you structure all your processes around customer in the center. You know, not by kind of.
Cool. Thank you for clarifying this a little bit further.
Sure.
The key, of course, for today is to talk about the role of customer success and how early stage growth companies can capitalize on, you know, setting up their customer success department up for success and actually developing as much business as possible from their existing customers by creating recurring impact for them.
Yeah.
The benefits are obvious, and I opened with a statement that, you know, if you increase retention rates, you know, profits can rise by 25 to 95%.
Yeah.
This was a quote from you in our preparation that really stuck with me.
Yeah.
And everybody knows the stats on why it's so much more efficient to retain existing customers instead of acquire new ones.
Yeah.
Yet what we find, especially for early stage companies, as they are looking to grow very assertively, that they are naturally biased in thinking growth is equal to new business.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is the role of customer success so important? I mean, and how do you see it will evolve to become even more important over time?
Yeah, I think it's a quite complex question. So I completely understand why for smaller companies, like you need to bring business in, right? So this is why sales and acquisition and growth is so important, because you need just to get business in. But if we look into scaling companies or even larger companies, when you have an existing install base or you have existing customers, and again, like back to the metrics of retaining, This is literally a no-brainer, because your revenue and in SaaS industry, we all work around ARR, MRR, so it's recurring revenue, right?
Yep.
So the idea is you need to retain, but also hopefully your product is growing, hopefully the market is growing, so it means that even the existing customers that you have, their businesses are growing as well, so it means that revenue can grow too. And I think neglecting this or not paying too much attention to this can be a big mistake, because you already acquired them, you have this revenue, so it's more around like how you can grow and what you can do with them.
Because
you and it's not like either or. So it's not like you drop all the sales and you work only with existing customers. It's not that. Of course, you continue acquisition efforts, you continue sales, but you constantly need to work with the existing install base and existing customers and help them grow, and hopefully your business will grow as well.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why it will be more and more important, because I hope everyone reads news. So we're just going out of 2 years of pandemic, which were a massive disruption for lots of businesses.
For
tech companies and digital platforms, it was good years because everybody was moving online. Now we are entering recession. So again, in this climate, it's acquisition, and you would know yourself as well, acquisition becomes more and more harder. Conversion rates and just like the bringing new customers is more difficult. So working with the existing install base can be one of the very profitable strategies. For still keep growing your business overall without like massively growing sales.
Yeah, or running the risk of actually losing business that you already have acquired. Of
absolutely.
We're going to talk about how to set up, let's say, your operating model and what things to look at in more detail. But maybe before we do this, what's always struck me is that customer success is a very abstract definition or let's say role, because I see so many different archetypes of customer success teams coming by. Can you elaborate or shine some lights on, you know, how you see the ideal setup of customer success, and also what the position is within the company? How customer success works together with different departments.
I'm always very careful with the questions around like what's the ideal, because ideal will be different for everyone. But I think the reason why you see so many different archetypes of customer success role or teams is because in every company it can mean very different things, right? So I'm on a client facing roles for last 10 years in tech, and it means very different things, and even how the role is named itself. So it can be anything from account management to client partner to client solution manager, client success manager. Now it's customer experience. So lots of different things.
A lot of fancy names.
Exactly. Lots of fancy names, and different companies use this function for different things. So for some companies, it can be very oriented towards product adoption and making sure customers know what's the product, how to use it, all the features. So this CSM or success manager, whatever we call them, will be a very technical person. In some companies, it can be around building relationship, especially when it comes to enterprise level, when you need to really like go deeper within the customer structure and, you know, leverage different relationship and stakeholders on their side. In some companies, it can be even almost like business development role slash sales almost. So what I mean is ideal setup is very different for everyone, and it's up to every company to understand what we need from our CSM now. So what is the maturity of our install base? What is the type of our customers? What is the segmentation we use for us internally? And then this is what your persona of your CSM will emerge there.
Yeah, okay. So essentially your business model and your client archetypes, if you will, really also determine the setup of the team.
Absolutely, yeah. And I would imagine that in smaller companies, startups, a customer success manager would be a person who does everything post-sale. They do onboarding, they do troubleshooting, they do technical consultation to customers, they do maybe little upsell or anything like that. In larger companies, when you have more teams, this can be different functions. Mm-hmm. You can have support team and then CSM will be doing something else. You can do your onboarding team, and then this part goes away. So again, it really depends how your overall team company is structured here.
To me, you know, this really strikes me as a role that is in the pinnacle of the, let's say, commercial operations.
Yeah.
How do you communicate effectively? Well, maybe I should rephrase my question. With what type of departments do you work together? And how do you continuously align and get the right communication flow? How do you report? How do you communicate?
Yeah, so again, short answer would be with everyone, because the idea is for customer success, if you think this is where the customer ends after doing everything, they've seen your ad, they had the demo with the sales, they maybe read your blog or knowledge base, and now they are with a success manager, CSM. Let's call them CSM. So then everything that happens with customer with all their lifetime in the company is with the CSM. So if there is an issue with the product or feedback about the product, it comes to CSM. If there is a question about how product works, it comes to CSM. If there is any upsell opportunity, it comes to CSM. So kind of going back to your question, CSMs are in touch with lots of different teams in the end of the day. So mostly with, I would say, most closely they work with sales counterparts.
Yep.
Again, depending on how your product is structured and how your teams are structured. But then product team can be a very close relationship.
Of course.
Again, depending on the stage of your product development.
I can imagine you get a lot of feedback on the product, which is useful to loop into the product roadmap.
Exactly, yeah. And then product team always looking for, new features, rolling feedback from customers, beta participation, running experiments and so on. This all goes through CSMs, right?
Clear. So from a product side, it's more to see, okay, how can we optimize the product to create as much value for our customers? Mm. From a sales perspective, it's obviously to create as much value for the company that you represent.
Yeah.
In marketing, for example, can you give some practical examples of how you work together with marketing?
Yeah, so one of the things I mentioned was about case studies. So when we have a customer who is particularly happy or they had really good results with our platform, obviously we would work with marketing on releasing case studies or anything. Marketing would be working with CSMs or customer success org on different programs that they are running, right? Because marketing is working on scale. So they would have sometimes scalable communications where customer needs to be looped in. And then it's up to CSM as well to roll the customer into all this communication, right? So I would say this way.
And I can also imagine that the same goes for marketing as with product, of course. Looping back the sensitivities and the certain nuances that you identify with your customer that resonate really well or do not at all, I think can also be reflected upon in the messaging, of course. That
marketing, absolutely. It will be adjusted, yeah.
Cool. And so It is a very a fluid definition. I think we've agreed on this, and the way you design your customer success team is really dependent on sort of your business model and the mm-hmm. client archetypes that that you run with. It sits at the pinnacle of different departments. Then who is the ideal, or who is a customer success manager? What are the key competencies that somebody should have to be successful in this role?
Yeah, also good question. So again, depends on your business. I would say the CSMs nowadays, they need to be people who have good business acumen and good understanding of different business models. Because mm-hmm. again, depending on what markets or industries your company is serving, it can be lots of different backgrounds. So, for example, if you can imagine what companies use HubSpot, it's any company in any industry, of any course, size and so on, right? So as a CSM, you need to be able to quickly understand what's the business model of the company or your client, how they work, how they make their revenue, like how their teams are structured and so on, to understand how the platform can help them. So business acumen is there. Of course, technical aptitude. Because we all work with a tech product, you need to know. You don't have to be engineer, of course, but you need to understand how integrations are working, what's API, like how our platform fits into the stack of the customer.
User, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Interpersonal skills are absolutely crucial. Again, depending how your customer success team is structured, it can be very scalable operation, but mostly it's you have one-on-one relationship, you need to work with the different people and different stakeholders on the customer side, you work with C-level, you work with the people who, you know, hands-on and implement the platform, to be able to communicate to all of them. And the same, because what we discussed, CSM is connected to many people on the internal side of the company, they need to be good at
stakeholder management.
Exactly, yeah. So when you're like, okay, there's something is happening, how do I loop in marketing? How do I loop product team? Like sales need to be involved. So you need to be like a bit of a project manager almost here. I would say this would be the... And maybe the last one would be around portfolio management, depending again like how your company is structured. Mm-hmm. If your CSM covers large number of customers, they need to be just really good with prioritizing and keeping in mind and having their own like flows and you know how I segment my portfolio. What's the priorities? Where do I need to put attention now? Like which customer needs more product knowledge and which one needs a bit more contact with sales or whatnot? So.
I think it also depends a lot on, again, the type of customer that you work with, right? So how your customer base, what type of companies it constitutes, and also the type of engagement that you have with them. Whether you are selling enterprise software or selling, let's say, a plugin as an add-on to a system that they use,
Absolutely.
It's a whole different type of engagement that you probably have. How can you segment this into different, let's say, ways of engagement from a customer success perspective?
Yeah. No, this is an excellent question, and I think this one is a key for really setting the customer success team. It's really paramount understanding, obviously, your business model, but also starting segmentation of customers as early as possible. So, of course, when you're a startup, you have 10 customers, everybody, all the company works with them, right?
Yep.
But when you grow, when you scale, you have more and more business coming in, and if you don't understand what is the segments of these customers you have, that will be difficult to build the team on top of it. So segmentation can be very different here. So just on top of the mind, things around like geographical languages and all of this. So customers from Italy work very differently than customers from Norway. Because of the legislation, because of the cultural, because of the economic situation in the countries. Older customers behave also differently than newer ones. Yeah. Customers who, depending on what's your product, for example, if you have different levels of subscription, customers who use different levels of subscription can behave differently. So mm-hmm. this can be also a segmentation criteria. Size of the company. So
potential probably also
potential as well. So where some companies will buy your product and you know, okay, that's it. We just need to maintain them. There is not much growth happening with some customers, you know, like, wow, there's still a lot we can do with them. So,
And how would you say, because essentially what I hear you say is ultimately you can define buckets of clients and even have different sort of engagement models if you serve different customer segments, right? So, if you're selling enterprise, it's probably a high-touch engagement model that you've defined with a lot of personal touch points and support. if it's a sort of medium value customers, it's probably low touch, more automated or engagement at scale. And if it's really low volume, it's probably close to no touch at all and very data driven.
Yeah.
How would you say that this influences also the setup of customer success and maybe the people that you require in order to execute on this?
Yeah. So this would mirror how your team is set up, right? So if you say, like, if we follow this structure, so you have higher touch customers, mid touch, and low touch or no touch, this will be different skill set that you want from your success managers, right? So if you work with enterprise and the customer success manager manages, like, I don't know, 5 customers, they go really deep, they need to be top of the top. Mm-hmm. Senior person, strong business acumen, good relationship building skills, very technical. People who work maybe with high skill, maybe these people need to be good with automation, with understanding, like, how to use data. So when you see your huge portfolio and certain gaps, like, how do you target them on a scale, maybe good with organizing webinars or any other scalable outreach. Maybe they will work more with marketing team rather than with the customer or product team.
Clear.
So I would say it would mirror exactly what happens your...
Cool, that makes a lot of sense. And obviously at HubSpot, you are responsible for partner success.
Yeah.
Are all of the things that we have discussed universally applicable, but then for the indirect channel as well?
So if you think about our partner program, so there are tiers. Mm-hmm. So this is already the one level of segmentation you would have, right? So you have partners of different tiers. You have partners of different specializations. So there are companies, for example, we work with marketing agencies. They're very different to what you guys are doing here, right? So we have partners who are hardcore developers and integrators, also very different from what you are doing and what marketing agencies are doing. So this is another type of segmentation. Of course, partners of different size. Mm-hmm. We work with companies enterprise level, and we work with, like, almost like freelancers, who are just a few people. So this all impacts the segmentation on our side. And, of course, the regional level. So
That makes sense. Here, yeah. That makes sense. All right. Maybe I think a very important topic that I would like to discuss is, what are metrics to monitor and to steer the business on?
Yeah.
And I think there has been an evolution also in the type of metrics, that makes sense to track. Can you, provide your experience on what metrics work best and in what situation?
Yeah. Metrics is the favorite, I think, topic is around, like, what do we measure? I think historically, success team was focused on retention. Yep. So we have customers, and success team job is to retain them. And over time, I think there is a bit of convergence between customer success and sales almost, because, and this is my deep belief as well, like, if you work with a customer, you are supposed to help them grow. So you're exactly. like, you're almost a bit of sales always, like, in the sales mode. So over the last few years, success teams are moving to net revenue retention. So it's not only retention of existing customer base or existing dollars that you have, MRR or ARR, but it's also, like, how you have grown them. And especially it's relevant to companies who have a lot to offer. So, for example, for HubSpot, we have lots of hubs, we have lots of features, so there is always something we can be offering to customer. Yep. And there is always, if customer grows, eventually they will grow their usage of our platform. So net revenue retention, I would say, is the one of the key metrics in success now. Part of it is retention purely. We can look into SQLs, so service qualified leads. So it's how you interact with sales teams, how much opportunities you're surfacing to your sales teams from existing install base. We can look into NPS, how happy customers are with us, and how, you know, the promoter score generally, like how they recommend us in the industry. So so this, I would say, would be metrics around the performance. But then depending on what you want to improve, you can look into metrics around engagement, for example, like how often and how your team generally engages with the customers. Is it calls? Is it emails? Do we have meetings? Do we have QBRs? You know, things like this. Again, depending on the segmentation that you're having. So
Do you have some best practices on let's say, defining process for client engagement within the customer success role?
Oh, client engagement would, again, like, I feel like I give useless answers because it depends, right? So if we talk about customers, or so it's less about the metrics. So I think the metrics around engagement, they would be more coaching metrics for your team. So I would say they're like your target, but they could be a good correlation around like why certain things are happening. So for example, if you see high churn rate within a certain cohort of customers, you can look into what was the engagement level. If no one talked to this customer for like half a year, maybe this is your answer. Like that's why they're churning, because nobody engaged with them. So I would say that engagement metrics, they're less of a target, but they're more of, they're there to understand what could be the cause or what could be the not cause. So for example, we see a strong correlation with high engagement, high renewal rates, and higher growth. You talk to customers, you update them about the product, you check with them on their business. And
probably also the inverse, right? So if there's a lot of support requests and a lot of tickets, probably that's an indicator of potential churn.
You can have this, you can have the roadblocks as well. In our system, we have something called roadblocks. So for example, if customer has an issue with the product, we can file, we can see it if there was a... So there can be tons of information you analyze about this. And
how do you make sure that, because like NRR... are very, let's say, lagging indicators, right? You can only monitor them after a while.
Yeah.
What are some leading indicators that you use to steer the business on a daily basis to see if you're moving into the right direction?
Yeah, so this would be something around forecasting, something around like how well you understand what happens in your renewals cohort. Mm. And I think this is one of the issues that I see happens a lot with lots of customers and partners and generally businesses, they kind of neglect the renewals as a metric, as an indicator, as a process at all. Mm-hmm. So this is a big leading indicator. So you know your renewals. So they're in the system. You know when your contracts end. Exactly. So understanding how healthy is the customer who is going into renewal, this is one of your leading indicators. It's partially lagging as well because it's historical, right? So, for example, if customer is not happy, they're unhappy for a while, but it also means if renewal is coming in 2 months, that here is your indicator if they're going to renew or not.
Yeah. So you do this on a cohort basis. Can you explain to me why it's so important to do this on a cohort basis?
So, again, depending on what you mean by cohort here. So if
analyzing renewal cohorts.
So we analyze renewal cohorts based on months, right? So, and of course, as I said, like the team is segmented by size of the customer, geos, and all of this. So you would see this in the in your forecasting process. But generally, the forecasting and this renewal, you would just look at them month by month. So, okay, what is my September cohort of renewals? How does it look? Are they healthy? Are they happy? Is there upsell opportunities coming? Is it consisting most of the customers who are with us for many years and they're just automatically auto-renewing? Yeah. Is it all new customers and we have some challenges with them? Are there lots of discounts that they will be losing? So I would say when it comes to renewals, it will be more of a monthly cohorts rather than just purely segmentation, which is discussed with you.
Clear. I mean, we touch upon many aspects of customer success, the role, what it entails, how to structure it, what metrics to look at. If you were a revenue leader or working in customer success or a founder of an early stage growth company, how would you go about setting up a customer success department? What are the steps to take?
Yeah, so absolutely, I would start with analysis of existing customer base. Even if it's like one customer, there are already things to analyze about them. So I think the less customers you have, the deeper you can go into your analysis. Even you can go as far as like having in-depth conversations with them to understand what they lack, what they need, and so on. And the more customers you have, of course, the more data you have to segment and to look into this.
Yeah.
So for me, this would be the first step to just like start on the segmentation and understanding all these different cohorts, and then depending on how the company is set up, like what we discussed, who will be this CSM or this customer success? Are we now focusing on product adoption and I need someone technical who will be like, you know, hands-on with the customer setting their product, or actually product is intuitive, so I need someone who will be just building relationship, facilitating, you know, keeping the customer updated, keeping them in our ecosystem. So how our sales are working, what's the other processes.
Cool. You can tap from years of experience, and obviously working at a company like HubSpot is, I think, a dream for a customer success professional, because the company is so vast, and obviously it's also within its own domain, right? So you're a leader in the thing that you actually that you actually execute. That, that is your profession. I can imagine you have a lot of learnings and a lot of great experiences that are, you know, worth sharing with founders or customer success professionals for early stage companies. Can you name a few of the key learnings that you have developed over time? Mm.
Yeah, so I would say that the synergy between teams, so the flywheel concept and the teams are working together, is definitely a big learning, right? So it's not like it was like a massive insight for me, but when you see how it works inside and how everybody's centered around customers and how everything is connected into one point, that's quite, I think, eye-opening. Another one would be the importance of segmentation. Previously, I worked in large companies as well, so I kind of know what's the value here, but I think at HubSpot, you can very clearly see even how they perform differently, these different segments, and generally on a bigger scale, you understand the importance of segmentation, how your processes then follow this. So this is definitely a kind of a learning to share. Another one, I would say, how customers are involved in the kind of broader ecosystem of your company. So HubSpot is not just the platform for business, right? We have an amazing blog where there is a lot of information for just growing business and different business practices. We have Inbound conference happening in September very soon. We have Academy. So I think it's very important to kind of embed customers into your philosophy, into how you work. So HubSpot has one of the highest NPSs globally. We have something crazy, almost like 100%.
Wow.
So this is of course because we have amazing product, amazing teams, but it's
practice
also
what you preach.
But it's also around like how our ecosystem is structured generally. So I think this is a big learning for companies for like, do I have actually a community around my product, like, or like what else is there except the tech
setup. Exactly.
So it's
cool. And is there one final piece of advice that you would maybe like to provide to the audience? One key learning or, you know, a thing not to do?
Yeah. One thing I would say, iterate and constantly reorganize and optimize things. So everything we discussed now, I was saying a lot, like it depends. And you will see like the more your business is growing, the more teams are changing, the structures, you will need to change the customer success team as well. Yeah. Review your metrics, review what's important, how you work with customers and all of this. So iteration is crucial.
It's a learning process and probably you will have to reinvent yourself over and over again.
Absolutely, right? And be experimenting. I think it's very important to run like pilots time at a time. So when you set up your team, when you have your metrics and processes, run a pilot with a smaller cohort of customers to see how they react, because you will have learnings and then maybe next iteration of your team or approach to customer success will be different based on that.
Super. Oksana, thank you very much for being here today and for all the great insights. I think it will be invaluable for the people listening and all the growth professionals within the start and scale up scene in Europe. Thank you very much.
Super. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.